Hey everybody, before we get started on the recording, I just want to let you know that this week we had trouble with our recording, and so the first 3 minutes of the audio recording, it sounds bad, but we promise it gets better. Just hang in there for the first 3 minutes.
Bluebill Bridges. Well, it goes without saying, that's a pretty easy one to answer, but do you realize many would say building bridges is a very expensive proposition? Well, let me take you to a bridge down in California, the Bay Area. It's called the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. And there was a construction project on that bridge. It lasted about 11 years. And you can probably make it out, that which connects the bottom segment of land to the top segment of land on the picture is that bridge. There's two sections, the west and the east. Just the east needed to be replaced. And it cost about $6.5 billion. They went $5 billion over budget. This was from all I can tell up to now, because it was completed in 2013, the costliest public works project in California's history. And they had to do that and spend so much money because of the threat of earthquake in that. So it's expensive to build bridges, and so some bridges go without being built because of that. The other issue with bridges is bridges can be very dangerous to build. And the next picture shows a bridge that we're hopefully very acquainted with, the I-205 bridge. Really, the proper name is the Glenn Jackson Memorial Bridge that connects out here in the east part of Vancouver. And Camas connects us to the eastern part of Portland, or at least part of Portland. And on that bridge and the construction project of that bridge, three construction workers died. So it's very dangerous, very expensive to build bridges. So the very answer to why build bridges is still very simple, isn't it? It's that there's a need to span a chasm or a great divide. So bridges are good. They're a solution to a problem. We'd say they're good news when a bridge comes, and we're going to find it to be helpful to our travels, don't we? It's good news. Bridges are very, very good. They provide a way across, and the extent or the span of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge, nearly 4.5 miles, and for our bridge right here locally, nearly 2 miles. Huge spans across great divides or chasms, we might say. Now, let me ask a related question that one might ask. What is the most deadly chasm? What is the greatest divide that humanity needs to cross? And let me take you to a scripture that shares about this greatest human divide. It is the human divide between us and God, between people and God. It says here back in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
Now, friends, that's a big divide. That's a great divide. That's a chasm that, you know, that's between us and the God who created us, loves us, has a purpose for our lives, and wants us to be in eternity with him. And so I would, and I did on my handout, I circled the word iniquities and I circled the word sins. Because that's one of two of the greatest problems that humanity has. Sin, and then there's another one. These sins, what they have done is, that's how this divide came to be. They separated us and put a great divide between us and God. And so this diagram you will see just shows that. A chasm, a great divide between people and humanity. Those sins produce the second great problem. Sin or iniquity is the first that we all have and all share as people before a God who created us. The second big problem that we have is death. Sins cause that death. In fact, the Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. And so we're in We could say double trouble in this case, right? We have these two big issues, two big problems. This is bad news, isn't it? Somebody say yes. It's bad news. It is when that has happened to us. So the second diagram I want you to look closely at is this diagram that tries to span or bridge the chasm, the great divide between people and God, between us and God. And there's all kinds of ways we try to figure out how to span that chasm, and humanity has throughout its entire history. One is by good works, another is simply by religion. Some religions that try to span this chasm, not according to the way it's designed to be spanned, or philosophy or certain kinds of morality, just our own goodness we try to get across. I relate to this. Again, at the branch here, our goal is to know Jesus and to make him known to the growing, increasing number of people in the East Vancouver, Camas area that are uninformed, underinformed, or misinformed about who Jesus is. I came to the place in my life at 20 years old at a university in Portland where I realized that even though I had been in church every Sunday for 20 years, I was underinformed about who Jesus is. I was trying to do some of this, friends. I was trying to span, to bridge this great divide on my own efforts, my own supposed goodness, at least that I thought, my works or performance. I'm a pretty performance-oriented guy. And if you're in any kind of a job, if you're trying to get by in this world, you understand very well that you better perform or else, right? You'll go down into the hole. And so that's we're conditioned by our culture to perform. And sometimes we misappropriate that to this divide between us and God. I certainly had done that, my friends. I had done that. I didn't get it. I was lacking true meaning and the purpose of my relationship with God, and I fell very short. Well, let's look at the good news diagram, and that is that God has provided a way. He made a way to cross the great divide. It's this work that God did in the cross of Jesus Christ, in the death, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's the bridge that gets every single person, humanity, across to the other side. That's the only bridge that works. Those other bridges in the previous diagram, friends, will not work. You'll fall short. Even if you've been in church for 20 years every single Sunday like I had, you will come up short. This is the bridge where you can get all the way across. This is it. And that's what I came to understand. I became more fully informed. I came to have more adequate understanding about this particular bridge. It's often shared in this particular and popular verse in John 3:16. Many of us know it, I hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Perish, note that, but have eternal life. Look at the very next verse, which often is not used, but look at it. It shows this bridge and its effectiveness. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God's a saving God. He's a loving God. He cares about you and your life and the purpose for who you are. For eternity, not just for here, but for the long life ahead. He did what he did through Jesus Christ. To do what? To save the world through him. Friends, these are the most important concepts that you can abide by in your life, that you could fully understand in your life, that you could express and make known to another person in your life. Friends, at the end of the day in this life, we're going to die. Then what's next? What's the answer? We're going to look at that more fully. You see, I didn't appreciate the personal love of God, and you might even circle so loved in that verse on your handout, or the gravity of the great divide, the fact that I could perish. God came so that I wouldn't perish, that I wouldn't go down into that sinkhole or abyss for an eternity. He came to save me. And so it's out of God's love that another scripture comes up that helps us to just define this bridge very well this morning. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous. He's the righteous. Christ had never sinned. He never had any iniquity in his life before God. He became that perfect sacrifice. Sometimes in the terminology of Christianity, the Lamb. John the Baptist, his precursor, said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is every person's sin. Not just mine, not just yours, not just the people that live in our community, but across the world, from the time of the first man, Adam, to the very end of the last person that'll be alive before he comes. It is that. He is to bring us to God. That's what Jesus did. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's our April memory verse at the Branch, by the way. I'm announcing that now. Carry that truth around. God, you have this bridge. It's called the cross of Jesus Christ. God built this bridge. This bridge was built on Good Friday when Jesus Christ was crucified. This is a very expensive bridge. You cannot calculate the expense of this. It was the very Son of God, God in the flesh, who was willing to take your place and mine to create the pathway, the bridge to a relationship with Him forever and ever. This was a dangerous bridge to build, obviously, because it cost Jesus, the very Son of God, His very life on the cross. The name of the bridge, such as bridges are named, the Glenn Jackson Memorial Bridge, the name of this bridge is Christ Crucified. Jesus, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the good news to the bad news of the great divide. The cross reveals our sin at its worst and God's love at its best. The cross is this place where we must come to understand that we have to trust in it. That's called faith. We have to be willing to cross it fully and live with God. That's called a repentant lifestyle, a desire to live with Him and be baptized, which is our initiation rite in Christianity that identifies us in our own death, burial, and resurrection underwater and out, which gives us that spiritual new life, erasing our sins and giving us the rebirth or the regeneration of the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us, God in us, the hope of glory forever. This is the good news. You have a stone on your table, probably a small rock. I just grab one of these. Think about this rock for a minute. This may be a memorial to you this morning that says, you know, I've crossed that bridge. I'm living with God. And it may be something like that to you. For others of us, it may be this is a stone that I'm living with. It's like a cancer, a sin that's in me and metastasizing, and I'm struggling with this. And I need to cross that bridge. That means trust in the cross of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the service, we have an opportunity to cross this bridge, and you can drop this stone into this water element up here as a meaningful memorial to what maybe step you've taken today to say yes to God, a next step to Him. That's maybe what this is. Maybe a stone of stumbling, and you have at one time crossed the bridge, but life happens. And maybe you've compromised, maybe you've gotten complacent about your walk with God. And maybe this stone says, a stone of stumbling that I'm going to cast down. I'm going to plant it here, and I'm going to cross to the other side again. That might be what you would like to do today with this simple little stone. We're going to take the opportunity this morning to have communion. And everyone's invited to communion. There's stations that are marked by the balloon. There's four of them. I'm pointing them out. There's one there, and there's one right over here. And during this next song, you're going to love it, I just want you to stay seated, not go get communion in this next song. And I want you to listen to the words, because it talks about this great divide that's been bridged, all right? And then the song that follows that will be a little shorter song, but it's going to be a song in which we can get up and take communion. And you can take it at the station. You can take it back to your seat. You can take it and just stand around, whatever fits your comfort level. And then you can take the piece of bread, which stands for Jesus' body, and take the little bit of grape juice, which stands for His blood. This was His life that was given. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Almost like, do this to remember the bridge I built on my life. So listen to this song as they sing it, and we pray. Oh God, would you just speak to us, God. Help us to understand better what you've done in the cross of Jesus Christ for us. Thank you for the bridge that only you could build. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're following along in your handout, start again there. The second point that we need to make this morning is that a way was made to cross from this life to the next life. That's the resurrection piece. You see, the solution to the problem of sin came with the death of Jesus. But the solution to the problem of death, which sin produced, came the resurrection of Jesus. We need the resurrection of Jesus to have new life for ourselves. Look at this scripture out of 1 Corinthians 15. Note what it says. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or died. For since, look what it says, death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all died. So in Christ, all will be made alive. Do you like that? I sure do. We're all going to be made alive. There's a great and glorious morning that happened almost 2,000 years ago now, first discovered by women. That is the empty tomb. And they looked in there, they saw it, and there was no Jesus' body. It had been raised from the dead. He is not here, the angel said. He has risen just as he said. And so you'll note on the screen this empty tomb that is something that is to be looked at today, the empty tomb. Take out your stone again and just consider this for a moment. Represent death defeated for you. It is done. You will be raised from the dead. You got that. You've bought that, you understand that, and you're walking that, okay? But it may be that there's some here that this stone might mean, well, like the stone that enclosed this tomb, it might still feel closed on your life. And the new life, the resurrected life, the raised life, you don't seem to be experiencing like maybe you'd like to. And some things are in the way. This stone is still in the way. You haven't felt the power of God just blow it to pieces. And He will. He raised Jesus from the dead, and that very power will raise you from the dead too. You have to believe that. That has to be an understanding you have. But let's face it, some people struggle with this idea of a resurrection from the dead. They don't get it. I mean, it's not anything we've seen very well. We see the evidences of it from the life of Jesus Christ, who did indeed die, and He was buried for 3 days and rose on the third day. And so there might be doubts about the resurrection. You might doubt the love of God that would have produced this incredible redemptive act in the death and resurrection of Jesus. If that's an issue for you, could I ask you to reach out to me? On your card, the connection card, just write evidences or anything you want to communicate with me that you'd like more information to seek out, to really determine for yourself, to your reasonable mind, that this thing could really be true. And on a second note, you might just go and over to the movie theaters and watch The Case for Christ. How many of you have seen that? That could give you both the love of God for your life in a better and more understandable way, perhaps for you, and also some incredible evidences for the resurrection that tomb was opened up, and there is no body of Jesus Christ ever been produced on the planet. It's empty because Jesus was raised from the dead, and because He was raised from the dead, we will all be raised from the dead one day to an eternal life, an immortal life. That's the good news to the problems of sin and death in this life. If check it out, friends, that is the good news. And you can compare it to any other faith system on the planet. And all those other systems, friends, will fall short. And don't take my word for it. Take the word of God. Seek it out. Find it. It's worth it because the stakes are as high as your eternal existence. We have a song that's going to be sung by my good friend and guest soloist, Randy Hacker. Listen close to this. This song exalts the eternal and risen one who built the bridge to an eternal life for you and me. It was Jesus who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed. This is this idea of not just an outward happiness based on circumstances of our lives. No, this is an inner well-being and inner happiness. Despite the circumstances that are going on around us or around the world or in your home, workplace, neighborhood, or in your heart, you can have a deep and abiding well-being if you're a peacemaker, or could I say a bridge builder to other relationships. This is our third point. If you turn your handout over, connect with this with me for just a moment. This is this idea that a way was made to build great relationships. There are all kinds of what we might call chasms of conflict in the world, aren't there? Some great divide. It happens between nations. There's racial tensions within nations. There's political and religious divides, obviously. There's home and workplace conflict. There's all kinds. There's social media conflicts, isn't there? Yeah, it's all over. How do people build great relationships? Could I say it another way? How does the world become civilized? One bridge at a time, right? One bridge at a time, the whole world can become more civilized. So we've crossed this bridge that God has built to become more like Him, like His. We're children, we would say. And we're blessed as we would become bridge builders. Here's what the Bible says. Note this. This is Ephesians 1 and verse 18 and 19. I pray. This was the Apostle Paul, or the church planter of his era, in a great way. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. In other words, you'd understand, in order that you may know, look what he says, the incomparably great power for us who believe. Say that with me. The incomparably great power for us who believe, that trust in this bridge that God has built. What can we do with that in our everyday lives? Not just in our life with God, which is obviously the most important, but in our life horizontally with each other. That's that same power, it goes on to say, that that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. We have that kind of power available to us to live our lives. And one of the most important places to live life is in relationship with people. When we live in relationship with people and build great relationships, friends, our life goes up. We are lifted in this life. There's nothing more important in life than to have good relationships with those in our lives. And so by the power of God, we can be bridge builders to great relationships, not just in our own strength, got to use that, but in the strength that God gives us as well. And so this is what we have from God. Take out your stone again. Just take one of those stones, put it in your hand, feel it. You might want to write on it. You know, there's some black marker pens, some people on these, and something with them. But this stone may represent a stone cold relationship that you have in your life that you don't want to have continue to be stone cold. It may ask God to give you bridge building courage, peacemaking courage. That resurrection power is promised to you and to me, to forgive them, to reach out to them when it's hard to pray for them when you don't even want to think about them anymore, to connect deeply with them. We're going to have a teaching series starting next week, 4 parts, that's called Relationships, Brothers, Mothers, and Others. You fill it in who the others would be, but 4 practices we're going to learn over the next 4 weeks to build great relationships. These are right out of the Bible, from Ephesians 4 through Ephesians 6. The first one next week will be to build great relationships. Use this tool correctly. We all have the tool. Sometimes we may not use it as correctly as we would have liked to. We're going to talk about that and how important that is to building great relationships. And then just look at the next 3 beyond that. I want to invite every person in this room. I suspect you're here because you don't have a church. You're in between churches. You're seeking God in some manner or in some way. You desire to learn more. You're reconnecting perhaps after a long break from church. And you received an invitation from us, and you showed up here today. Friends, I don't think that's by accident. I think God's been working in your life, just as he's working in the lives of those who have been regular attenders of the branch and new people that are coming to the branch week by week. I want to invite you to come more than just today. Would you be willing to come back in this next four-part series for all four, or for three of them, or for two, or even just for one? I just want to invite you to. I want to become your friend. I want to be part of your life. I want what God wants, and that's bridges built between people that would bless our lives and honor God the best. I hope that might be something that you could do. And so, I want to invite you right now, as we kind of come to the concluding parts of our service, we'll be done here in about 10 minutes or so. I want to invite you to consider taking a step. Okay? You should consider taking a step this morning, responding to what God might be talking to you about today on this Easter 2017. And there's three things I want you to consider. One is the connection card that you have on your tables. Can someone make sure everybody on that table's getting a connection card? I know if you're a couple, just one of you could put it on there. If you haven't had a chance to complete this yet, could I ask you to put your name on there? Could I ask you to give us a little information that you've been here and that we could have a record of your attendance at our branch, only our second service. We're only 18 months old. In 2017. Would you be willing to do that? But more than that, we'd love to have your information, but I'd like you to consider something on the backside. Maybe there's something we could be in prayer that you would like us to know about. Maybe it's something in your work environment, it's something about somebody else even that you'd like us to know about. Just use a first name. And we have a team of people that pray. They're warriors at this. And they want to pray for what are the needs right here that are represented in the 300 people involved in our service today. What would that be? Would you just complete that as a way to respond to God today? Second thing I'd like to ask you to consider is an offering. We have an offering envelope. Here's what I think about giving to God. It changes me when I give to God. When I give to God, something good happens to me, not just to the fact I'm some people get some money. Now, as a branch church, a young church, yeah, we'll use the money, and I'll pledge to you, we'll use your offering to God as a thank offering, a praise offering, to advance God's kingdom and God's values through the branch Christian church right here in this community that you live in. We're about doing that with loving on the community, with our fun fests, in big ways with our harvest party, getting involved in serving around our community, to make Jesus known. So that could be a way that you could express yourself to God right now that would change you. It's a commitment you make that blesses your life. And so that's the second thing. The third thing is this stone that we've been working on, right? A stone. There should be plenty of them, and you want more than one stone. You got more than one thing to think about. When we cross this bridge in a little bit, you can drop it down there. You can throw it down there. Just down there you can throw it, no place else, because you might have some energy in you that wants to throw it, right? I mean, it could be. And that might, because it might represent sin that you're done with. It might represent something you're going to remember that is you're going to, okay, maybe you even want to keep and take it home, put it somewhere. It maybe is a relationship that you're going to work on, a commitment that you're going to make. It may be a stone of stumbling and that entangling thing that keeps getting you down from fully following Jesus as you know you maybe would like to. And just put it in there as you go across this bridge in a little bit here. And so we're going to take a moment and the band's going to play. We're going to collect at the end of this next song all our connection cards and any offerings at the end of the song. What will happen is there'll be what we call our branch pot. It's a planter pot that's going to come around. It's a bright green pot. We'll put one on your table. Just make sure whatever's there gets in it, and then it'll come back around and be picked up during that, before the end of this next song that's sung. But this song is meant, you can sing it too, but it's meant to really be a time where you can think. You can complete the card. You can think about how you could respond to God on this Easter. What's God been saying to you? What's a next step that He might want you to take right now in your life? Oh God, hear from us right now. We've been hearing from You. We've been reveling in this incredible salvation event of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And oh God, we want victory that You've designed for our lives. Help each of us right now to take a step if we need to, a step toward You. In Jesus' name, amen.